no way. Glad that I found out he could bring me out, show me the way. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this morning, and just trust the Lord will bless you. And good to see you, Brother Rodney, and the wife. And he's a very welcome in the service. God bless you this morning. And the Lord bless each and every one that's here. Don't forget to pray for Brother Colin and Sister Lydia. The wedding's come on. They already had a wedding during the lockdown, but because of the rules, there was nobody was able to attend. So we're going to have another wedding. Praise God. Tuesday week. Isn't that right? And just pray for Brother Colin and Sister Lydia for that wedding. Praise God. And the Lord bless each one. I want to preach on the tabernacle tonight, but this morning I really feel to preach on prayer again. I preached on prayer on Wednesday night, and I really felt the Lord was talking to me, and I tried to share that, and I really believe the Lord blessed the service on Wednesday night. And my sermon on Wednesday night was, don't just stand there, pray something. And I said, the world is a saying, and I've heard it so many times since, it's Thursday night. Thursday night. But you know, I've heard it, Friday I heard it, Saturday I heard it. I've heard it so many times since. It is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. And I don't like that saying. It is not what it seems. It's what the Word of God says. It is not what it seems. Prayer changes things. And we saw when we took the reading from John's Gospel that Jesus prayed for himself. Then he prayed for the disciples. Then he prayed for the whole church. Because he prayed for everyone you're going to give me. That's the whole church. All that the Father will give me will come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. This morning I want to turn to John chapter 4, and remember Brother Matthew could turn that down a number on the heating. It's warming up this morning. But the Lord bless each one. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 4, and I want to speak a little bit about worship and prayer this morning from John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's bow our heads again for a word of prayer. Praise God. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is far above every other name. Lord, we're blessed this morning when we sing that little song where we'll touch your hands, the nail prints. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful woman blind that wrote the words of that wonderful song. I will know him by the nail prints in his hands. Father, we bless you this morning. You'll stand amongst them and you'll say, where did you receive these marks? And you'll say, in the house of my friends. Lord Jesus, we welcome the Holy Spirit into this service. And I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every hand raised, you'll meet every need. In the name of the Lord Jesus, bless and strengthen your people. Save the lost, heal the sick. Lord, we ask again for all our children. Amen. That you'll cover them with your blood and save every one of them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Colin and Sister Lydia. You bless them as they prepare for this wonderful day, and just be everything to them, Lord, and meet their every need. And Father, for any in this service that's gone through a personal battle, Lord, I'm asking you for strength and courage in the name of Jesus Christ. Now bless us with thyself. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Prayer is a great means by which Christians come into the presence of God. You ever want to come into the presence of God? You come into the presence of God by prayer, to worship Him and receive from Him guidance, help, strength in the time of need. You need to come in by prayer. Prayer is one of the most neglected things in Christianity today. I personally believe that. I believe that the prayer meeting is the most important meeting of all meetings. I believe that God's people need to pray and they need to seek God like never before. The Word of God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and fast and pray, then they will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. God is a healer not just of us spiritually, physically, but God can still move in this land, no matter what anybody says. People have a great habit of saying, God's finished Ireland, He's finished England, He's finished everywhere. When you hear some people preach, God's just finished everything. God can move in the time when it's least expected. That's when God can move. It's always darkest before the dawn. And when you study revivals and you read about revivals, at the most darkest times, God moved in revival power. And when things seem at the worst, that's when God can move. Every Christian, every true Christian, should set aside a time every single day to pray and read the Word of God. That something should be automatic. And I often said we should never ever leave the house. Whether it's when you get out of bed or get into your car, you shouldn't be going anywhere any day until you've prayed. Amen. It's so important to pray. The dangers on the road, the dangers in life, we need the Lord's guidance, protection, and help, and we need to pray. The most powerful and influential Christian in the world today is a Christian that knows how to pray and a Christian that knows how to get their prayers answered. And I'm going to show you this morning in this wee Bible study that there is a way to pray and there is a way to get your prayers answered. God answers prayer. Amen. The devil wants to tell you there's nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. But I believe, stand up and pray something. Amen. God wants you to pray. He doesn't want you to accept it and give in and throw the towel in. Rodney's here this morning and he knows me for quite a time now. And I'm the type of fella, if you say it can't be done, I'll go ahead and do it. That's just the way it is. And that's the truth. I don't believe certain things they can't be done and that's it, just leave it. I would never accept that with anything in life. You know, many years ago, there was a man went to hear a preacher, the brother you studied under, brother. Leslie Hill. There's a man I know, Brother Jordy knows him, other people in here know him. Now, what he did it for wasn't physical or spiritual, it was physical. But he went to hear Leslie Hill preaching. Leslie Hill preached a dynamic sermon. And he preached, winners never quit and quitters never win. I never actually heard all the sermon, just little bits of it. But he preached a tremendous sermon, and a man called Desi Newell was in that meeting. And Desi Newell was not born with an 18-inch arm and a 50-inch chest. Desi Newell was just a wee fella. But Desi Newell wanted to be a champion bodybuilder. And he took an inspiration from that man preached. And he gained 6 or else 8 inches on his chest. And so long of a time by training. Now he took a physical thing from what the man preached. And he won the Mr. Ireland title. And he didn't have the attributes. He wasn't born big and to do that. But the sermon the man preached inspired him that he could do it. And there's other people and attributes better than his that could have done it, but they never done it. Now, I'm not saying he should have done it or not. That was down to him. I'm not going to worry about any of that, but he took inspiration from it. And God wants us to take inspiration, and God wants us to look at his word and know that when we pray and seek God, God is able to do it. And God gives us instructions in his word. What kind of people's God seeking? And we see this in the first reading this morning. God is seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You need to know the truth. You need to know the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. And the truth is that God answers prayer. That's the truth. It is a truth that we're to pray without ceasing. That is a truth. And God wants you to know the truth. Not the truth of some man's word, but the truth of God's word. And God's word can change. You know, God never changes his mind about his word. That's a fundamental principle. That God never changes his mind about his word. It was perfect the first time. You could say something and rewrite it. You could change it. Because we're human, but God is infallible. We're working with God. He's infallible. And when God takes the sign somebody, he doesn't need to change it. It's right the first time. And God never changes his mind about his word. And God says, if we will call on him, he'll hear us and he'll answer us. Also, what sort of prayer does the Lord delight in? In Proverbs 15, verse 8, the Bible tells us that the Lord delights in the prayer of the upright. And the prayer of the upright. The Lord wants us to be upright. He wants us to be righteous. And we cannot be righteous of ourselves, but we can be righteous because of Romans 4. The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Romans 4 shows us that Jesus says, I don't impute to you your sin, but I impute to you my righteousness. Amen. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, which exceeded the Pharisees and the scribes and all the laws. Our righteousness wouldn't take us to the back door, but we're not working on ours, we're working on his. He gives us his righteousness, and he imputes it to us. That means freely imparted to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What kind of a prayer produces results? James 5:16 tells us that there is a prayer in the Bible that produces results. James 5:16, the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And I've already given you the foundation for righteousness. The foundation's not you or me, it's Christ. When we come and receive his righteousness, now we need to acknowledge we're sinners. And we need to receive his righteousness. And when we acknowledge we're sinners and receive his righteousness, then we can come under that scripture in James 5:16. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, in there, when you read James, the Bible reminds you of Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That's in there to encourage you and me. That's telling you and me that he wasn't some sort of a special person. But he was an ordinary person, but he believed God. And he prayed a righteous prayer, and God heard the prayer, and God answered the prayer. I think it was a brother, Laurie, went into the other week, and one of the brothers, where they put the water on the sacrifice when Elijah prayed on the mount. And they were calling on all the other gods, but there is only one true God. And he said, maybe your God's sleeping and so forth. The brother mentioned it the other week. But they put the water around it, but Elijah prayed, let the God answer by fire be God. And the fire came down and sucked up the water and all the sacrifice. God heard Elijah's prayer. And here we are encouraged to pray like Elijah. We're to pray like Elijah. Also, if we wish God to hear prayers, there's two things in John 9, verse 31 we need to do. Number one, we need to be a worshiper. If we want God to hear prayers, we need to be a worshiper. God wants people that will worship him. Hallelujah. You know, the world's full of worshipers that don't even know it. Everywhere people go, the radio's on and they're listening to all sorts of music. And some of the music people listen to today would make you sick. And some people put things on, I say, out loud so they can hear it. If you weren't sick, that music would make you sick. It's absolutely pathetic. But there is the right kind of music. Godly music. We had real worship here this morning, singing about the Lord, singing about Calvary, singing about the blood. The Lord wants us to worship Him.
Amen.
Wants us to worship Him. And worship's a part of the Christian life and the Christian experience. And if you want your prayers answered, be a worshiper. Many times, you know, do you ever think of this? Do you ever really think of this? You know, we get down and we pray and we give God our list and everything. Most of us do it. But what about ever starting out and just singing a wee song? Starting out and singing the Lord a song. How about starting like that on the morning and singing unto the Lord? And the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you know, when you come into the tabernacle to the golden altar of incense, it is a type of the prayers of the saints. The incense burning before God is a type of the worship and prayers of the saints. And when we worship and praise Him and pray, it's an incense that goes up before God. God wants you to worship Him. God wants you to praise Him. God wants you to tell Him you're almighty, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're lovely. The Lord wants to hear that. He wants us to uplift the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to say, Lord, I love you. I'm not ashamed to tell the whole world that I love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved me. He wants you to come and worship Him. And people that worship God gets prayers answered. That's what He tells us in John 9:31. Be a worshiper. Then He says, do God's will. Do God's will. So He wants you to be a worshiper, and He wants you to do God's will. How are you going to do God's will? If you keep His doctrine, you'll do His will. Amen. What is the will of God? Testament is an old English word for will. It's an old English word for will. So when you read the New Testament, you're reading the new will. And on the cross, Jesus signed the will with His blood. And the will says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The will says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You don't need to pray and see if God wants you to go. The will's already told you can go. The will says, gather often as you see the day approaching. The will doesn't say, stay away. The will says, gather often as you see the day approaching. This is what the will says. And God wants us to do His will. The will says, husbands, love your wives. The will says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. This is the will of God. Amen. And God wants us to do His will and keep His will. And God's word is God's way, and God's word is God's will. Amen. The will of God. So He wants us to be a worshiper, and He wants us to do His will. But what way? There is a way we can enter boldly into the presence of God, Hebrews 10:19. And that way is by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we can enter. We can never enter without the blood. The Bible tells in Hebrews 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ we can enter the presence of God, the throne room of God. We could never do it for our own holiness, our own righteousness. But we can enter because of the blood. Isn't that wonderful? The blood of Jesus has made a way possible for a drunkard, for a prostitute, for a jailbird, for any walk of life, color, or creed. The blood of Jesus made a way that they may enter in because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can enter in boldly into the presence of the Lord. Because of the blood. The devil wants to tell you you're not able to enter. The devil condemns Christians. Many Christians are condemned by the enemy. They stay away from church. They stay at home. They think they're not good enough. And all these things. But the Bible tells us, if we walk in the light in John's Gospel, the Epistle of John, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Yeah, amen. C.H. Spurgeon said a tremendous truth. Brother Brian Freeborn mentioned it several years ago when he came over here at one of the meetings, and it was such a tremendous statement. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ forgives your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. Now that's something, isn't it? Past, present, and future, the blood covers all.
Amen.
Amen. That's a real product, isn't it? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. The sins of your youth, sister, brother, they're gone. And you're worthy because he was worthy.
Amen.
And you can enter in and worship him by this new and living way. Now there's two things we're to enter God's presence with. Two things in Psalms 100 verse 4. Number one is with thanksgiving. The Lord wants you to enter with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Thanksgiving. He doesn't want you to come, like a brother Larry said, to beast like the lurking spade. Imagine a brother from Africa saying that, Rodney. Preaching in an orange hall in a Brooklyn and saying it a face like a lurking spade. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Larry. But you know, the Lord wants us to enter with thanksgiving. Even when we don't feel glad, we should be glad. Because we're no longer what we were. The Lord's delivered us.
Amen.
From the gutter pit, from where we were, right up, high, into fellowship with the Father, heirs with God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Thus we are this morning. Doesn't matter what the devil tells you or somebody else, that's the word of God. God's word's your foundation, nothing else. You're resting upon what Christ's done for you already on the cross. And he wants you to come with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And he wants you to come with praise. Praise God with thanksgiving and with praise. That's what the psalmist says in Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Amen.
His name's above every other name.
Amen.
There's no name like the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ is like no other name. Like no other name. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful name. A wonderful name. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6. A wonderful name he's been given. The angel came to Mary and Joseph said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10 and Acts and Joel, shall be saved in the last days. People talk about we're living in the last days and it's terrible times and there's nothing we can do. This is a time when people can get saved. But Brother Yule was saying this morning, him and Brother George is going out in the streets praying for them. And Brother Yule was just saying the fields are white. They're white unto harvest. And Brother Rodney goes out as well, different places. The Lord bless him. And the fields are white unto harvest. God needs men and women that's going to go. That's going to go, that's going to do something in their day, in their generation. It's wonderful to read about different men of God, and I do it a lot. But what God wants us to make an effort.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God wants us to do something in our lifetime.
Amen.
Praise God. What should a Christian do instead of worrying? Philippians 4 verse 6 tells us, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. God does not want you to worry. Worrying will not change anything. Worry produces stress and oppression. But thanksgiving produces a merry heart and lightness. The Bible says laughter is as a medicine. Amen. It's good to get a laugh.
Yes.
Do you know that? It's real good to get a laugh. Because the Bible says laughter is as a medicine. Amen. And praise God, you get a laugh. If there's boys, some boys here, you definitely get a laugh. Amen. But it's good for you. There's nothing like a laugh. It's a dull day, you know, if you don't get a laugh. You know, you ever work with some fellas and you go to work and you enjoy it. You enjoy it. And then there's jobs you might enjoy when you need to get a different job. Amen. You need to get a laugh. It has to be enjoyment. And in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto the Lord. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your day's like, I'm going to tell you something. If things are really difficult, you're having a bad time or a bad day, leave whatever you're doing and go aside for a moment, just a few moments, and get down before the Lord. And tell Him about it. Tell the Lord all about it. The Bible says He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. You could have constant communion with the Lord Jesus. Praise God. So don't be worrying. And whose name should we pray? And with what motive? John 14 verse 13 tells us we should pray in Jesus' name. Why? To glorify the Father. He wants us to pray in the name of Jesus Christ to glorify the Father. When you give your testimony, it should be not to glorify you or me. It should be to glorify the Father. Yes. I said the other week, some people like to hear a testimony because they want to hear all the bad stuff. And you have to tell some things, but the idea should be to show what the Lord brought you out of. Yes. Not to glorify. Sin should never be glorified. It can't be. But it's Christ that needs to be glorified. And a true preacher, our true testimony, will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us, in John 14, verse 13, that we would pray in the name of Jesus to glorify the Father. Amen. That's what the Lord wants. Now, there's two conditions we may ask for what we will from God. There's two conditions, John 15, 7. And the first one is you have to be abiding in Christ. You must be abiding in Christ. Continually abiding in Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we must continually abide in Christ. Number two is that my words abide in you. So you must abide in Him and His words must abide in you. So you need to meditate upon the Word of God. Let they abide in you. Do you ever have a situation and you didn't know what to say or do and the Word just comes to you? The Word of God, just the Scripture comes to you. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Word coming to you. That's your defense. God's Word's your defense, you know. When Satan took Jesus up the mountain, think of this for a moment. You know, He took Him up the mountain and He showed Him everything. And He says, all these kingdoms I'll give you. Jesus never said, will I own them or anything like that. He never argued with Him. The Lord could have used any gift. We talk about gifts of the Spirit. He could have used any gift on Him. He could have done a lot of things. But He never done any of them things. He just said it's written. He used the Word of God. And He left us an example. That no matter what situation we're in. That was with the devil himself. He used the Word of God. And the Word of God defeated the devil. And God has given you the Word of God. That you can defeat the devil. God's Word. Use the Word of God. Abide in Christ and use the Word of God. Pray the Word into the situation. Speak the Word over the situation. And Paul says, speak those things that are not as though they were. That wee fellow will never get saved. He's such a drunkard. Well, that's the very fellow the Lord's looking. Is he a drunkard? Is he a real reprobate? That's the fellow the Lord can save. Because Jesus says, I never come for the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Ach, there's nothing to do for Him. He's beyond all hope. There's never anyone's beyond all hope with the Lord. There's always hope where the Lord's concerned. Amen? And you know what Romans 4 says as well? Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Maybe I'm quoting chapter 5. But that's what it says. Now, four things, you can write these down, and I'm not going to be too long because I want us to have communion. Psalm 66, verse 18. You can write these four things down, which will hinder answers to prayer. You know, iniquity in the heart, James 1, 6 to 7, they can hinder answering to prayer. But another thing is, don't waver in faith. So don't have any iniquity in your heart. Make sure your heart's right. Do not hold anything against your brother or your sister. If you are, that's wrong. You need to get it right. Get it sorted out. Amen. Don't hold iniquity in your heart. And don't be wavering in faith. James 4:3 tells us, or James 1, 6 to 7 tells us, if ye ask and receive not, because but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So God wants us not to be moved. That's basically what it means. Don't be moved. Stand fast in the Word of God. If you pick somebody out and you're praying for them, and somebody says, yeah, I don't think they're going to come, ignore it. I'm telling you, just ignore that. If they say to you, Brother Tom, I don't think they'll come because they got drunk last night. So what? You know how I'd look at that, brother. They're closer. I'm telling you. There's a big fella at the back, and I sent him one night, and he's telling it himself. I said, you're going to come, I've claimed you. And he more or less said he wouldn't be coming. And he went out and he racked the place the next 30 nights, racked all around him, drinking and fighting. But he come. The Lord brought him. Amen. He came. And the man or woman that somebody says they can't come, don't ever accept that. Just you keep believing. Don't be wavered. Don't be moved. Don't be put off through unbelief. Not wavering. If you ask amiss, you know, to gratify your own lust also, you can't ask for something just for your own lust. Lord, and I like Mercedes cars. Anybody knows me knows that. If I had enough money, I'd be driving one. God bless you, Brother Ewell. You know, but I just like a Mercedes car. They're just a good car. That's my honest opinion. Some people, fellas, used to say to me, they're nine man's car. Well, they want to take a run with Lewis Hamilton sometime round Silverstone, and they'll see if they're nine boys' car. It's not the truth. I just like a Mercedes car. Some fellas here like Audis. And there's some fellas like BMWs. You know, but whether I have a BM or a Mini, it's not going to make me any closer to God. It's not going to make a difference, or whether I have a push bike. Now, if I needed something the Lord can give me, and I believe God bless you, certainly, but I don't believe in a prosperity gospel. I don't believe in this American prosperity gospel, and you need a jet plane, and you need this, and you need that. What for? The Bible, there's another wee verse says, be content with such things as you have. So just keep driving the old Ford. Praise God. Maybe someday I'll have a Mercedes, Brother Earl. Praise God. If you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your own lusts. So we want to be praying for something that's not amiss or for our own lusts, but it's to glorify the Lord. Now, if you're praying for a man to be saved, that's not going to be consuming on your lusts. Sure, it's not. That's going to glorify the Lord. Do you know why? Because you're back to the Word. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. That's the Word of God. And the Lord says, I will provide your needs, all your needs. Amen. God bless, brother. God will provide your needs. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Also, the Bible talks about giving honor unto the wife, being heirs together. Wrong relationship between husband and wife can hinder prayers. If you've had the big fight before you come to church, it's not good. You need to get it sorted. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So God is saying your prayers can be hindered. If you have the big party before you come to church, it's not good. You should take a moment and get it. It's hard to do it sometimes. Amen. You know, they tell you, and I'm sure everybody will tell everybody that gets married, never let the sun go down in your wrath, is it? You know, always put things right before you go to bed and everything. Now, I'm going to tell the story. The wife will be mad. I'm going to tell it anyhow. But you know, when we weren't long married, Brother Ian, Sister Jenny took us to this big place near Belfast shopping. And I remember saying to Sister Sharon, whatever you do, don't be getting me pork sausages. I don't eat pork sausages. No, I do actually the day eat them. That's changed. I received a wee bit more grace. But I said, whatever you do, don't get me pork sausages. So we went up anyway, me and Ian went in, Jenny, and of course, us two boys left and tell it. All we were interested in tools, you know, looking around the shop at the tools and things. And Sharon was new over here. I didn't think of that, you see. She was only over from England. She was new over here. She was nervous. I never thought of any of that. All I was interested in was the beef sausages. And we come to the till, and of course, she'd got the pork sausages. And I said, I don't want pork sausages. And she threw the sausages and stuff your rotten old sausages. Now I know you wouldn't think such a delicate flower to do that. But you know, we come home, we never spoke for 2 days over a packet of sausages. And you know, when we made up with laughter over a packet of sausages, we never spoke for 2 days. You know, William Branham said one time he was going with this wee girl, and he said she had eyes like a dove and a neck like a swan. And he said the next thing he came out to the car, and there his dove was smoking a cigarette. And he said he couldn't believe it, such a delicate dove had lit up a cigarette. That was a relationship ended. But you know, you have to forgive. You have to forgive her. Someone small can become someone very big. I remember a brother in East Nome, and this brother got married, and there were some problems with the license and the different things with the marriage, because he wasn't originally from here, his wife wasn't from here. And I remember, I'll never forget this, my father took me aside before it all went down, as it were, and he said to me, Tommy, I'm telling you, the only way I can say it is, it'll be like walking on rice paper. This is a delicate situation. But I didn't think of it at the time, but it turned out it was. And a whole big blow-up happened out of very little. And that some brothers don't even have fellowship with that brother still today, and that's near 20 years ago, over something that happened. And I tell you, it's not good to hold things. It's not good to hold things. And especially if you're a minister, you're a preacher, even a Christian, it's not good to hold things. And it's good to have things put right. Amen. Like an old preacher said, even if it takes the hide off you, say sorry. Even if it takes the hide off you, say sorry. And it's good to do it. Praise God. And I'm going to have to close. And we're going to do communion. Just one more thought, and then I'm going to close. In order to overcome satanic forces, what are we to do sometimes as well as praying? Jesus tells us, when you're going through a real hard time and you feel there's satanic forces against you, Mark 9:29 tells us, and he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And I'll tell you, when you start to fast and you seek God and you fast and pray, God will know you're serious. He knows you're serious. And even if it's just a day or miss a meal, God will know you're serious. And if you take that time, just think of it like this. Think of whatever time your tea break is, where it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And every now and again, just imagine that you fasted and you give that time unto the Lord during them breaks. I'll guarantee it'll turn the tide. I know what I'm preaching about. It'll turn the tide. Prayer and fasting will turn the tide. Praise God. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to ask the brothers to come, and we're going to come round the communion table. this morning, and we welcome everyone that's saved and washed in the blood of Christ to take communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and take it. Take eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep." We know it means dead. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this communion service, for this bread and this wine. We pray you'll bless the bread, bless the wine, as we partake this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless these elements. Sanctify them to us, Lord, as we remember Calvary and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to read this little note. I brought this and then I forgot about it. This is a statement. Has anybody ever heard of Vance Havner? Vance Havner was born in 1901. I was reading a little booklet, and the man in the little booklet mentioned Vance Havner. But here's what Vance Havner said, and this is back. Now, some people say, "I don't know how prayer works." This is what Vance Havner said in his life story. "I do not understand all about electric, but I don't intend to sit in the dark until I do." Vance Havner didn't understand, he said, all about electric, but he said he's not going to sit in the dark until he does understand. And many of us mightn't understand everything about prayer, but keep praying anyhow. It works. God bless you as we come round the Lord's table. Deacons to conquer. Make your glory known.
Amen.